The views and opinions expressed by any hosts or guests of WJMS Radio do not reflect the beliefs of its owners or associates. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to WJMS Radio or the show hosts whose words, advice, and or opinions appear from or on our website or on air.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sound On, a platform where we give independent artists a chance to tell their stories their way. This week, our featured guest is local Philly rapper Akeem Ville. He's here to debut some new music as well as drop some gems, so stay tuned. And once again, thank you for joining me here on WJMS Radio, Radio Reimagined.
Well, thank you so much for being the second guest for this interview. So first, introduce yourself to the people. Tell us who you are, where you're from, where did you grow up, what do you call home? Give us a little bit of your background story.
All right, so my name is Akeem Ville. I am from Southwest Philly. I moved to Upper Darby when I was like 10 years old. Really spent like a lot of my formative years in Upper Darby and lived like in Southwest, sort of back and forth through Upper Darby and Southwest for most of my life. I came to Temple to finish my undergraduate degree, which I just wrapped up.
Congrats.
Yeah, in May.
So you said that you finished your undergraduate degree at Temple. Did you transfer?
Yeah, I actually went to, so I was in Upper Darby, and I thought it would be a good idea to start at Delaware County Community College. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I did 2 years there, and mm-hmm. I kind of, like, literally, like, the semester, I had 1 semester left at Delaware County Community College, and, like, that's when I, like, decided to, like, start rapping. Yeah, at that point, I was 2 years in, so I was, like, 20, so I was just like, yo, that's college. I'm going to career. I literally sent a message to my liaison. I was like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be transferring to Temple anymore because I'm pursuing a career in music. Like, I was that guy. So, I ended up, like, going back and finishing that just, like, off of principle. Like, yo, you have, like, a semester left. Why would you leave?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So that was kind of like a spur of the moment kind of thing.
Yeah, like, sometimes.
What made you think about that? Like, nothing. Out of the blue, all of a sudden.
Like, made me want to quit. Yeah, so I actually, when I went to Delaware County, I worked at this place called CareerLink. What CareerLink is pretty much is a job resource, like, center governed by the state. And my job was basically, like, doing the basic stuff, right, sort of mindless work, like, filing and stuff. And I would see so many, like, applicants that had so much, like, credentials as far as, like, you know, graduates from, like, Ivy League universities, and it'll be like middle age, and it'll come in, and it's like this job just like laid them off, like they have a whole family to feed, and it's like okay, like school's like great and everything, but it's not like guaranteed success or guaranteed, like, you know what I'm saying, like your future is not just guaranteed once you graduate college. So I just had that feeling really built up in me, and really just wanted to pursue something that I love doing and that I believed that I could do, that kind of just built up, and I was like, you know what? What's stopping me from doing what I want to do? And I just did it. I just stopped. I'm that kind of person, like, because if you think about it too long, it's like, oh man, it's not gonna happen. Maybe later down the line, like, I'm glad I made the decisions I did, because later down the line, like, I understood it better. Like when I went back to Temple, and when I went back to school, like, it was just more focused. You know what I'm saying? I went to school to do, like, music-related stuff, like audio engineering. Like, so, like, it kind of all tied back into what I'm actually doing with my career, you know?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So, like, what got you into music? Because I know, like, did you start rapping professionally 2 years ago? Or, like, have you, like, always had that passion and just never really took it seriously until, like, you were in school?
As far as rapping goes, it really started with writing. I knew that I was a good writer at, like, in, like, third grade. Like, I definitely knew, like, my teacher would tell me, like, once I learned, like, structure and, like, how to write and how to get, like, my points and thoughts across. Like, my teachers would just tell me, like, yo, you're probably like one of the best writers in the class. Like, and like I,
wow.
It always stuck with me. So I took writing very seriously. Even when I went to Delco, like I got a degree in journalism initially.
And then oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then I transferred to like media and like, cause you know, writing, like written journalism is not for me. It's like very, it's like very like restrictive, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to do more creative writing. Yo, it's funny enough, you go to NYU. I actually was gonna go to NYU for creative writing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I couldn't afford it. Yeah, I really couldn't afford it. I don't have like a support system and stuff. I would have needed like a full scholarship to go here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's funny. And the reason why, I kind of like, this is like an offset, right? So like,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of Donald Glover, and like I really respect his artistry and his writing. And like I've read a lot of the stuff that he's written, like as far as like scripts and stuff. And I would always read and be like, damn, I could definitely do this. Like I could do stuff like this. Like
why not?
And I knew that he went there, and like that's how he got picked up by Tina Fey and started writing for 30 Rock and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I could go there, get an opportunity, like write and do like music. You know,
yeah. But you can honestly, like, not in this day and age, you can do that anywhere. Like, you don't have to be in New York. You don't have to be in L.A. or Atlanta. Like, basically, you got the internet. You got a MIDI. Yeah. You got a camera. You can make it happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. NYU is fancy.
What'd you say?
I said NYU is super fancy, though. It's very...
Yeah.
And media is kind of, like, prestigious.
Yeah, it's kind of clout driven. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you go to NYU, like, oh my god, you go to NYU?
Oh my god, yes. Like when I got in and I was like telling everybody, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I go to NYU, but like trying to say it all like, you know, regular. Like, oh my god, I'm like, okay.
That's
yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Honestly, I like worked years for it, and it just kind of fell into place.
Don't they have you do like three creative writing stuff? I don't know what you like go for, but they have you do like a test. Cause I know like when I was applying, they had me like do like three like short stories, stuff like that.
Yeah, so like we had to do the Common App essay, of course, and then we had to do like why NYU, and then for my specific school, we were going into space, and we had to pick 10 songs, make a playlist, and write about one song that you were gonna take. And I, like, my story was so creative. I talked about how, like, you know, we were specially designed this plane. And, you know, we had these custom Beats headphones made for space travel. And SZA released a deluxe copy of Control. And Andre 3000 was the highlight. Like, I was just going in on the paper. But anyway, enough about me. This is about you.
That's dope.
so what has been, like...
That's that adrenaline.
No, I know. I can also tell that you have like an eye for like writing, because when I sent you these questions, like I saw all these edits made by Akeem Bill. I was like, oh gosh.
No, it was. I just yeah.
Yeah.
As far as editing, like that's kind of like my brain is programmed to like edit like at all costs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It was minor. That's it was very minor. It was like an I and an A.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't
yeah.
really, like, look at the questions because I didn't want to, like, prep myself to, like, answer questions. Like, I wanted to answer questions from an honest place.
Yeah. Which I love. Authenticity. So that's perfect.
Yeah.
What has been, like, the defining moment in your life that signified, like, you wanted to do music professionally? Like, because I know you said that, like, when you were in community, like, and you didn't really want to do journalism, you didn't really want to do creative writing, like, you just wanted to, like, do music. What kind of, like, what was that, like, you know?
What made me want to, like, just do music?
Yeah,
To be quite frank with you, like, well, it really drew from, like, the people I was with, like, my friends. So I have this really close friend named Andre, who we all kind of was together, like a band of friends, and it was one of the guys that were like pursuing music, or at least like said that he wanted to pursue music, and like one time he like rapped in front of us, and like that was like the first time I seen somebody in person like rapping and like doing, at least like performing, and it like registered in my head like, damn, like you're actually talented. Like this is my first time like hearing somebody rap and actually be good at rapping.
Yeah, actually good.
And actually like I could see potential. This is like I was like 18 at the time. I was like 18 and 19 at the time. I was just try to motivate like my friends, like whatever they were doing. Like they were literally just like trying to do music, and like I would be the friend that was like, because I never had that vision until like I was 20 years old and I made that decision. I never had a vision for like music and pursuing stuff like that. I didn't really have a vision to like really do anything like in that realm, to be honest.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, that kind of shifted, because it made it more like real. Like when you see it in real life and it's like this dude's rapping, it's like, damn, I know I can do that as well. But it didn't hit me. Like, I still was like just kind of helping them out, as far as like I was the friend that was like working and like, yo, y'all should like record stuff and go to the studio, and I would pay for that studio time.
Okay, manager.
Because like I'm trying to like, because I want to see them do well. At the end of the day, it's like I know with so many like kids like just in the hood, or like kids that's like less fortunate that have all this like skills and like talent, God-given talent, that don't have an opportunity to like have it be known or shown or work towards something. And I was like, you know, I'm trying to give y'all opportunity. If y'all work hard, like, I'm going to try my best to like save up this $50, $100 to go in for 2 hours and like get a good song, get a couple good songs out. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was
A social entrepreneur.
Yes, for sure. Like, I've been seeing that. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, that $50, $100 didn't matter. Like, if you're talented enough and you're going to be found, someone's going to find you, like, your music and your art, and it's going to go, like, I always saw above, like and beyond the immediate sort of, you know, what happens next. Like, there's so much things that could happen because we're in the age of the internet. So it's like, if something goes viral or something, like, just kind of takes off just authentically, then, you know what I'm saying? Then everything's worth it.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
Well, have you ever thought about like starting like your own nonprofit or like mentorship program with like local youth in Philly?
You know what? That kind of work takes a lot of like effort, to be real. And I'm really trying to like apply my effort towards like actually becoming somebody in like music and hip hop, because it's a full time gig, to be real. Like it's super full time. And I honestly am not even remotely close to where I need to be and where I see myself. I just need to, like, gain that momentum and, like, get to where I need to be. And then it's like everything kind of opens up from there, right? I'm doing, like, I have all these visions, these goals, right? But I got to focus on this one task to, like, get those doors open for me so I can, like, start this, open this up, do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm very hands-on with everything I do. But
Before you feed everybody else, you got to help yourself first. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah, I got to know the route before I can go back and help people.
I'm quoting that in the article I'm about to write about you. So I have a question about life at Temple. So, again, tell us, like, what you studied and how do you feel like your program has prepared you for your career in entertainment, or how it hasn't?
My life at Temple. I guess I'll just do, like, the on-the-surface stuff. So my life at Temple, like, is very, like, untraditional because I came back.
Talk about that.
All right.
What about you?
I came to Temple.
You want
to
know.
I came to Temple. I was, like, when I started Temple, like, back in, when was it? 2017, when I came back to school, like, after, like, a two-year layoff or, like, not being in school. I was, like, 22 at the time, so it was, like, I didn't really have, and, like, I was commuting, so it was, like, I didn't really have, like, a social base at Temple, so it was, like, kind of weird. It was weird. It's, like, I would go to class, and then I would go home.
I
didn't have, like, a real, like, a base of, like, people I hung out with at Temple. I really knew more professors than I knew students at Temple, to be honest with you. I was just, like, in my, I guess, professor networking bag, but it helped me out like a lot, man. I got like a couple scholarships off of that. It's like,
that's good.
Honestly, If I wasn't pursuing music, I'd probably pursue a career in academia just because it's like, it's fun. Like,
yeah.
It's fun getting 3 months.
Yeah.
It's fun writing. Like I write an essay and like I get a couple thousand dollars. Like,
wow.
That's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I would pursue that just because like I like the challenge too. Like Temple just had like their first Rhodes Scholar and I was looking at it. It was like a young African-American man who's like studying in Oxford right now. And I was like, yo, that's pretty dope. And then they were like, I honestly was going to apply for that scholarship, but they were like, oh, it's cut off at like 23 or 24 or something like that. And I was like, oh, I won't be eligible for it. And
okay.
It's like,
wait, how old are you?
24 now.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I came to Temple in 2017. I just graduated in 2019. So 2 years later. Yep.
So let's talk about like your individual program, so like the engineering program and the whole art at Temple. So how did you like your program, and do you feel like it prepares you for your career, and or like it hasn't?
Temple's program, as far as like engineering, isn't necessarily like a locked in program on like just learning how to mix engineer and like master. There's just classes kind of sprinkled around, you know, the recording industry. So like most of the students who really excel at like the engineering program at Temple are already sort of familiar with what engineering is and have had like hands-on practice and experience engineering. So if you're like raw and like haven't had any like experience, it's gonna be like a challenge, just because for me personally, it did move fast. You know, I loved all the professors at Temple, but it just like moved fast. And for me, I'm just like I'm a tangible like learner. Like you gotta show me. There's another word for that. I feel like it's like, I feel like it started with a K. But yeah, I like to be hands on.
Kinesthetic, but, right? Or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally feel you. How like you're going into like an engineering program. Like, because that's the same thing that happened to me my first semester. Like, we were kind of, like, shown the rooms, and they're like, all right, book studio time, you know, set up some microphones, record a song, or whatever. I'm like, I don't know how to use any of this. And I'm just sitting, like, pressing buttons and stuff, asking, like, the PAs and stuff. I'm like, how do you do this, and how do you
I'm
do this, and how do we turn on this, and how do we get it to record?
Yeah.
So,
and then, yeah, you kind of show me, like, you kind of show me step by step.
Yeah, I'm like,
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to see you do it. Like, I want to do it. Just tell me how to do it. Just,
hey,
press that up there, put that over there, oh, slide that down, do that.
Yeah.
And then have me do it. Like, have, like, me do it over and over, like, repetition. It's going to help me remember it. And then I can really start understanding, okay, this is why I'm doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how I learned, like, to be honest, as far as, like, because, you know, if you're working with a board, it's different from, like, working in your laptop where I have like Logic up, you know what I'm saying? You gotta like run signal flow through a board, like that's different. Like patching, like I didn't know what a patch was.
I hate patching. Oh my gosh. It's confusing. It's really confusing.
Yeah. Especially if you have a bigger console with like a bunch of channels. Yeah. But and people tell you too, like someone who's like super familiar with it, like, oh, it's basically just signal flow.
Like, yeah. Yeah, my professor is kind of like, you should understand this. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, like they get it. Like sometimes it'd be like math to me. Like,
same.
Yeah, I came into music to like write words, not like do all this.
Yo,
I kind of,
oh my gosh, yes.
I kind of laid back from like the engineering side. Like I'll engineer my vocals I really will engineer my vocals for the most part, just to like get reference tracks and sometimes to like master it. But I'm not a big fan of sitting there and like engineering stuff. I don't know. I'm just not a big fan. Like, but I do it for like the benefit of cutting that overhead, to be honest with you. Financial reasons.
I'm not gonna lie, like when you understand like the basic stuff and like you finally get, you know, Pro Tools to record something and you play it back and like, because we had a project in school and we had to like record like this entire thing and like mix it and stuff like that. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, I could really get into this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But first semester, I was like, you know, I was letting everybody else do the work. I'm like, you know, I'll watch, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, once I have to get my hands dirty and like learn for myself, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I learned to like it. So,
I mean, I recommend every musician to know their way around like Pro Tools and, you know,
mm-hmm.
the different
DAWs, industry like, standard or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like different DAWs. Like,
mm-hmm.
cause that's something I take issue to with like a lot of engineers. Like, it's very like murky for me personally, what I experienced with like engineers in general, because you might not get the mix that you intended. Like most of the time,
mm-hmm.
you probably won't get the mix that you would like hear in your head. The shit that you hear in your head, excuse my language,
mm-hmm.
what you hear in your
yeah.
head is not what's going to come out like as a final result. And that's what really prompted me into like doing audio engineering for real. Because it's like, I went to a studio in Philly and Philly has a sound. And for the most part, the engineers who like mix that sound are engineers that mix with that sound intent. And that You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
I went to record like my first track and like, I'm having my engineer tell me like, yo, we need more ad-libs on this. So it's like,
yeah, sounded like Meek Mill.
I'm not an ad-lib heavy kind of bull. Like I'm not heavy
uh-huh.
with the ad-lib. Even now,
mm-hmm.
Like when it comes to ad-libs, I'm like, ooh, let me listen to some Waka Flocka or something.
Yeah.
Get some inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm with
mm-hmm.
the words. I'm not with the, yeah, like, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, I like
yeah,
people, like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm not with the extra stuff. Like, but I know, like, it has, like, layer to, like, the sound.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. That's something that I need to, I guess, work on.
Or you can have J. Cole thing. I don't really hear J. Cole using ad-libs.
Yeah? Yeah,
so,
something to, yeah. That's something to consider for sure.
So what would you describe, like, the Philly sound?
The Philly sound? I mean, Philly
yeah.
doesn't really
And how do you kind of separate yourself from, like, everyone else who's, like, rapping in, like, Philly?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm wording this right, because there's a lot of talent in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want it to all sound the same because, you know, Meek Mill
yeah.
is our, you know,
yeah.
savior. So
uh-huh.
everyone wants to
uh-huh.
sound like him, you know?
Yeah, well, Meek Mill kind of just, like, amplified, like, that type of rapping style, which is, like, that really is a core, like, street Philadelphia black man, like, rapping style. Like, if you from the street or you, like, at least identify with, like, the struggle in the streets and, like,
mm-hmm.
whatever happens, you know, as a street dude, then that's going to be your style. That's going to be your flow. If you're, like, more of, like, just creating, just like rapping, creating, or like if somebody like the Lil's, you know, like a Lil Uzi or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna go with like a Lil Uzi style where you're like heavy auto tone.
Yeah.
And then there's just like spitters, like there's just people that just rap and they don't rap with that like intent to be like this bull that like, you know, sell dope and was outside like on the corner, like, and you know, got a Glock on them. Like people,
mm-hmm.
not everybody have that experience, you know what I'm saying? People tell their truth. There's a lot of rappers that just rap and be telling their truth in Philly too. But we are known for that style just because obviously Meek is the like representative for real. Which is a dope representative. Meek is a dope rapper, dope
yeah.
artist. Like we all want to be under that umbrella with Meek for real because he actually
yeah.
showed love to the younger artists.
I want to hear everything that you're doing with Rex Philly. So like you're a studio, you're a studio manager, right? Or
yeah.
a studio engineer?
Tell me
about how all that happened, how you met with Will and Dave, how, because I've been trying to get in with this company for
yeah.
ever.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Tell yes forever since I was a sophomore in high school and I'm a sophomore in college right now. So
yeah.
Please, yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. I've been chasing them.
So basically how I got into Rex Philly, you want like the very
Wait, first can you tell us about Rex Philly? and then talk about how you, just tell me everything.
All right. So, Philly kind of encompasses, like, a lot of, like, different things, right? So, it's basically a creative community for artists, just creators in the city in general. And it's really, like, a two-part company. So, one part of the company is full, like, agency service, and then the other part is, like, a creative, like, incubator for, like, artists where they provide, like, space, resources, strategy for artists, you know, in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, like, the premises or the whole sort of mission is empowering, like, creative entrepreneurs in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Okay.
Free thinkers.
So, like, how you're part of that community.
Honestly,
you free thinkers. Yeah.
It really,
gang, gang.
If you're a free thinker.
I think so. I mean,
so.
Not officially, but like,
okay.
I'm not a member of Rec Philly, but you know, uh-huh. I'm rooting away. I'm rooting from afar. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From like the very beginning, how I found out about Rec Philly, I was just searching on the gram. Just
mm-hmm.
So basically, this artist from Philly, his name is Armani White. I did a song with him, and like,
Armani White.
Yeah.
Not personally,
yeah,
that was
the first song I did when I was like, yo, I went to this studio and like they had me doing like hella ad-libs and shit. That was the first song that I did, and I was like, I don't really like this song like that. Oh my god, it's called Life's a Bitch. It's on SoundCloud,
mm-hmm.
But that song I was playing. Yeah, so going back to Rec Philly, I was like just on a gram, and like they had posted something of like him like rapping, and I was like, okay, what is Rec Philly? So I'm thinking like it's like this performance venue. I'm like, oh, that's dope. I'm trying to go there. I'm trying to perform there too. I'm trying to go there too.
Yeah.
So like, that's how I see it. And then I guess I followed them, or like I liked something, and someone reached out from Rec Philly like, hey, blah, 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 blah. Hey, I see that you're
Do you remember
artist.
Who?
One of the talent, what's the title? All right, so deal with talent relations at Rec Philly. I believe it was Tim.
Mm-hmm.
But he reached out and was like, invited me to, you know, come check the space out. I checked the space. I kind of got an understanding from it. It was definitely something that wasn't happening. I couldn't even think of where it was happening before, but just the idea, the concept was like new. So it definitely drew me in. I was like, you know, it was a place of co-working. Like what really sold me was the fact that there's this community of like-minded creators that you can just access. Like that's something that you can't pay for, to be honest with you. Like connections, like networking opportunity,
yeah.
Like can't really pay for that, like, because you don't know where those things are going to lead you to. You don't know where how it's going to benefit your career, you know. So like I went there for that, and also like strategy, because I didn't know like a damn thing about the industry, to be honest. All I knew was, yo, I need some beats, and I need
mm-hmm.
to like write some fire bars to make good songs. That was about it. That's where it stopped for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like just going there, just understanding like, okay, first you got to think of yourself as an entrepreneur, because that's who you are, like as a creator. You know, you're selling like a product, right? You have a product that you want an audience to buy. Essentially, at the end of the day, you want your audience to buy a product that you are selling. You're delivering to them, so you are an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
It's just like kind of being that mentality, like we as artists like to think of ourselves as just like, oh, we just like do art, and we just, you know, we don't worry
mm-hmm.
about all that. Like that's important. Business is important. Yeah, because artists are infamously known to be screwed over by labels and labels and
like TLC.
Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh, but in the other interview I did, she brought that same thing up, and she was like, yeah, they were talking about you know, we sold 10 million albums and we're broke.
10 million
so,
albums and you're broke. Like, what?
Yeah.
How does that even make sense?
Yeah.
That doesn't make no sense. Damn. Damn, Ellie Reed.
Just... Yeah, that's good that you're learning about the business. And
yeah.
I guess everybody listening to this, if you're an artist, learn about the business because you don't want to be missing out on your coins.
Very important. Music business, yes, very important to know. You got to know about splits and, you know, really having your record, well, first creating like a BMI or ASCAP, like registering your work, you know, your publishing, copyright, all that good stuff. Yep.
So then, how did you get the studio manager position?
Studio manager, so my official title as of now is, I think, facilities associate. So basically, it is like studio managing, essentially. But I started as a free thinker, and I was just, you know, I went to Temple. I did like live sound at Temple, and I was just like, you know, the people there, like the community and like the internal team at Rec Philly just, you know, really sold me. Like, it was just like, good. It was just a great experience. Like, every time I talked to people, it'd just be like genuine like conversations with like people that really like inspired me, like Will and like, you know, our membership success team, with Scarlett. Like, I'd have conversations with them and it'd just be like genuine like conversations, and it just kind of inspired me. Like, and I would come to events and I would see like there's like one person sort of running sounds. And I'm like, okay, this one person that's like running sound, who's actually my supervisor right now. So that's dope. This would be this one person. And I'm like, I talked to him because we went to Temple, ironically enough. Like, he had graduated like a year before me. And I just had a conversation with him before I even like tried to get in with Rex Philly. I was like, yo, I do live sound here too. Like, I do live sound at Temple. Like, is there any opportunity to like do live sound at Rex Philly? Like, I was just trying to get in somehow, just doing live sound, to be honest, at Rec Philly. And I just, you know, build a rapport with, like, with Will. And, like, one time I just, you know, let him know, like, yo, I do live sound for y'all. I'm not asking to get paid. I just want to, like, contribute. I just want to be a part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would do live sound. And my final semester at Temple, I was actually looking at, I needed a place to intern because I originally applied at Universal Music Group.
Mm-hmm.
I applied at Universal, but they were looking for like spring interns. So like spring, like as in like March or April, and like my semester started in January. So like I couldn't do the Universal stuff. It was going to be at Fame House in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was like going to intern. I was really looking forward to that, but I'm like, yo, this actually makes more sense. So I hit Will up real quick. I was like, hey, if you guys have, like, any internship opportunities, or like, I'm real confident on my, like, my resume. And, like, it was like.
I was, too.
Yeah. I'm like, real.
But, you know, I'm not like, going to be petty or salty.
Yeah. This is your moment.
I'm like, sorry.
Yeah. You're good. I'm, like, real, like, solid on my resume. I'm like, yo, I just got this excellence in media scholarship, like, yeah, man, oh brother.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm like, you know, BA looking good. So I hit him up, and it was like, yo, so we really aren't doing interns right now, and we're super selective with, like, interns.
Yeah.
So,
no, I know.
So I was like, damn, that's crazy, because I thought I had a good shot. So... basically, he was like, you know what, send the resume anyway. I sent the resume that night with a full, like, thing. I got the whole spiel. I didn't just send the email of the resume. I sent the whole, like, Joan, like, the whole, like, I was applying.
You wrote
like,
an essay?
Applying for Fame House again. Yeah, I did that. So, I sent it, you know, must have looked good. It must have been, like, that area where it was transitioning happening, and it was like, you know what? You know, Justin, who's my supervisor right now, like, he could use some help. He could use a hand. It must have been, like, that right, like, pocket and that right team at the right time. So, fortunately, he called me back. He was like, hey, speak with Dave, who's, like, the co-founder of Rec Philly. So, I had a conversation with Dave, you know, he liked the resume. We had a quick little conversation like, all right, this is the expectations. You're going to do this for, you know, credited hours, you know, entering for credits at Wright Philly for like, I think for like 5 months, yeah, my entire semester. So he had the accredited internship. Currently now I'm on, I'm actually obviously a part of the team.
This is dope. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. So yeah, it was just like a transition. To be real, like with like the music stuff, like that's really like my focus, you know, with everything. That's like my number one goal and ambition. And rightfully, honestly, is the closest thing to me working a job as I would be like, I can live with myself. Like, and work at Wright Philly, you know why? Because I'm literally in a community of other creators and, like, people I meet.
So explain to me what exactly Wright Philly looks
Wright
like.
Philly?
Also, I need to, like, one day, like, hopefully this summer, go and tour.
I've never toured. You see what was, like, kind of hurting, like, people's chances who, like, applied? It's, like, that face-to-face, like, interaction, like that human element of people like knowing you and like really like being able to like vouch for you is very important, because I was a member of Wright Philly for a good like 8 months, like just a member, like coming to events and just like using and activating the space, you know what I'm saying? So it's like my credentials as far as like my resume was just like, okay, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they already know, like, I'm actually trying to get to this space, like, on a daily basis, but, like, at least a weekly basis, you know? So, yeah, that's what it's about. To be honest with you, I'm not, like, a part of the hiring team or anything, but it's the application, when we put it out, we had, like, a bunch of, like, super, super, super strong candidates. Like I would have hated to, like, be the person that was chosen, to be real.
Wait, for the interns?
Yeah, for the intern. Like, it was.
Did you see my name on it?
I didn't look at it. I'm not privy to that information, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
It's like department directors and then CEOs.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So
Keep telling me.
You're good. Yeah. So the building is the Windows Factory, the old Windows Factory. They used to be fully functional factory, and then they kind of downsized. And they allow like different businesses to rent out rooms in the building. So Wright Philly is one of those businesses that has, you know, a lease on a few of the rooms on the fourth floor of Wright Philly. But yeah, Wright Philly is probably like one of the most known businesses in the Windows Factory, if not the most. So that's probably why like people like find it synonymous over the Windows Factory, Wright Philly. You know what I'm saying? It might be like the most well known in the city.
Yes, because one of my friends was saying, because he goes to the arts and he's like in music business and he's like into like throwing live events and stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, we're throwing a party for like his party thing is called Lucifer's Lounge. He was like, yeah, it's going to be in the basement of Wright Philly. I was like, what's the basement of Wright Philly?
So basically, Windows Factory has become synonymous with, like, Wright Philly. So that's what happened.
So, like, when is this show, and, like, are you charging? Because I would, like, love
the show. Yes. So my show is actually going to be my first official, like, performance. So it's going to be dope. It's going to be on the 20th of this month, of July, from 8 o'clock to 11 p.m. It's going to be RSVPs, $5, at the door, $5.
Okay.
So basically, I'm going to the show with two other, like, the artists I told you I work with at Wright Philly a lot. Mm-hmm. People I feel strongly about as far as creating and sort of making music together. So I thought it was a good opportunity to work and, you know, do business and really create a dope ass vibe for people for like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're rehearsing for tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm rehearsing for that.
Okay, cool. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's definitely a lot of work though, so by organizing and setting stuff up, so it's a little overwhelming.
So since now you graduated, college and you're ready to take on the world and start your career officially and you're about to put on this show, and I know you've just released it's your first single, right, Kelly Rowland?
Yeah, it's my first
single. And you dropped the visual? So tell us about that.
Yes.
And
yes.
from the conception of that idea making the song and the visual.
Okay, yeah. So this is gonna be another spiel. You're gonna have a lot to work with. So Kelly Rowland, where it kind of originated from was a song that I was doing called Caught in Traffic, and it was basically a sad song, kind of oh my gosh, why'd you do that to me? So I did the song, and it's another thing I was kind of mentioning about engineers and stuff. I didn't like how it sounded. I don't blame the engineer because he did a couple other songs for me that I really liked. It was just the sound. It was just the beat. It was my flow. It was just the tone of the record. And I just didn't put it out. Didn't like it at all. I thought it was average. And I took those lyrics from that, and I was just riding the car. I was, I would commute to school, and I was just driving the car, and I was just listening to beats. I was listening to a beat tape. That beat came on, and that chorus immediately, it's literally when I heard that beat, I didn't really hear that beat. I heard my chorus. I literally was just hearing my chorus. And I'm like, all right, I'm start rapping to it. I start rapping my jump. Really? Because at that point, that was just a free verse that I was it's just sitting out somewhere in the world. So I rapped it, and then the second part came on. I rapped it again. I'm like, damn. It's kind of dope. I was like, huh, I wonder how this was. Actually, no, there's a step I'm skipping. I was working with a singer because I put a casting call out. I love working with singers, just writing for them. Working with a singer, and I played it, and I rapped it. I did the video. I did the video at Rec Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Just rapping it with the beat playing. And somebody that I kind of I guess you would say value their opinion, this is a little bit light, but they commented it, and it was this fire emoji, and I didn't expect that, and I was just that just kind of gave me all right, damn, this one, my bars actually is tough in this genre. People like it because I'm just literally spitting not as a song, but just as a freestyle, so people are messing with it. So what I did was I was like, all right, I might as well try to record it. So I go and I record it, and I kind of sat on it for a little bit, sat on it for a month, and I would send it to people, and I'm like, yo, you got one. And I'm like, damn, I should just put it out. So I said, all right, I took it, because I already put my demo out, my 3-song demo, and I just added that. I replaced the old song, and I added Kelly Rowland to the demo, and it did really well on SoundCloud. I would be I just posted about this on Instagram, my story, but I would have girls, brown skin, dark skin girls, that would have that link to Kelly Rowland in their bios, and I would just be scrolling through stories, and I'll hear my song playing in the background. I'm like, yo, that's tough. That's another level. People genuinely mess with my phone. So it's I should really try to promote this. Mm-hmm. And then I just went on Kelly Rowland's page, and I saw her, she made this video of her, dancing, a photo shoot. And I just had an idea. I was like, hey, what if my song was playing when she was doing this? And then I just, I just pretty much, merged the two, put my song in the background, and had her video, posted it, and, it did even better, because, people are now envisioning, Kelly Rowland dancing to my song. So it's the song is already tough. Now it's the visual content. So I'm like, all right, I gotta go out now. Now I gotta make an actual video for this song. Damn. I was all right, if I'm gonna do the video, I gotta come correct. So it wasn't just a regular video, hit up my homeboy that does videography. I was like, yo, I'm trying to do I'm trying to do this right. So I hired an all black female like casting crew as far as like the videographer, stylist.
Period. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makeup artist, like just extra. Like So like the incentive, the way I kind of treated the video was, it's a photo shoot. Essentially, the basis is a photo shoot for the models, and my video content was of the photo shoot, like behind the scenes material from the photo shoot, which is honestly a great concept. Looking back, probably would have been cheaper to just like pay the models instead of like hiring like three photographers, you know, to like to like shoot for hours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so like. I had photographers shoot, shout out my homeboy, Khalil, Il Cannon. He shot, that was like the only exception because he was just trying to do the video and just a dope photographer in general. And I had this other photographer and obviously my videographer who actually commented on the video that I merged with my song. And Kelly Rowland Dancing. And I was like, hey, what do you say we like do a video? do a like an actual music video to this. So it was like, it just happened. Like the step by step process into like how this video came to be was just like, it almost was like it was planned by like a higher call or power or something like that. Because it's just like, it just fell in line. Like I wasn't like, oh my God, I need to do this. It was just like, it just happened. Like this person hit me up. And then that thing happened. And then that happened. And then, oh my God, you were my assistant, but you're actually styling this whole thing. Like I wanted an assistant and my assistant basically became like the stylist of the show, and like she was a huge help. Her name is Ross. Shout out to her, like huge help in like as far as like the concept for the photo shoot goes. So yeah, shout out to black women and hire black women, pay black women equal for real.
Period. Yes.
Facts. If I'm going to do a video like that, because I know like women are going to appreciate it, I just want it to be like, okay, you like the song. The backstory is actually, hey, someone like you shot this video. It wasn't from my mind and my eyes. Like, it wasn't from my scope and my lens. It was from a female lens and perspective. You know, she directed it. So, yeah.
That's dope. Wow. Look at you. So how would you say, how have you been navigating?
My media images class kicking in.
How have you been, like, navigating your life as an independent artist? And I know, like, we all know, like, you have to have, like, a great team behind you. And all the people that you described helping out with the Kelly Rowland video, I can already tell that you have a really nice, healthy support system I've created.
For real?
That's
literally like the opposite.
Like, really?
I honestly don't have a support team. I don't have a support. I mean, that was for that one video. I don't necessarily have a group of like in-house individuals who like work with everywhere. No. Yeah. So basically, like as far as like an in-house team, that's something I'm actually like really heavily trying to pursue right now, getting like an actual in-house team, because I'm tired of like just. You know, I have these ideas and I have to, contact this person. This person does this. That person just does this. I just want to have, like, a base of people where I can, like, work with.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of, like, vetting, too. That's something I'm trying to get into right now. So, yeah, definitely need a support system. Don't have, like, a real support system. That's a long story, which will be told in another documentary.
Mm-hmm. Next time. So, I mean, you already kind of touched on how important is it for one to have a great support system behind you. Oh, so for instance, for your, like your family, are they supportive of your music career? And how did they react when you told them that you wanted to do music?
So my mother is very supportive. My dad, who's in America, is less than supportive, at least initially when I started. He had to kind of see the vision. He had to, like, see my Kelly Rowland video to be like, oh, man, it's a really nice video, man. Keep it up.
Yeah.
He had to, like, see it to, like, believe it, because when I'm, like, I told him, oh, I would be a rapper, he was like, oh, so you're one of those basement rappers. And I was like, okay. Yeah, basically. Basically, that's the concept of it. That's the concept of, like, what they think. Like, literally, because, like, when I quit school, like, you know, he was, like, tripping. Like, when I was, like, yo, I'm, like, quitting school. He was, like, threatening me to get off his like, insurance and stuff. He was, like...
Oh, my gosh.
It was like, oh my God, yo, if you're not doing anything, man, I can't give you my insurance, man.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, I'm trying to like pursue something, man. Like, for real. It's a goal. I honestly wasn't surprised, though. I would have been surprised if he was like, yo, pursue your goals, man. You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't been surprised. Like, it's African, like, it's a different, like, mentality. Like, they tell you that mm-hmm. you can only work a 9-to-5, you know. When you're African, like in America, like you don't have that dream necessarily. You literally just, the whole premise is like making money and like going to work and clocking in. So, you know,
can't blame it.
That's something I've always been against. Oh my gosh, it's my first job. Like Little Caesars, Lord help.
Little Caesars?
Yeah, when I was like 17 years old, like that was my first job, like in high school. I was like,
how was fast food for you? Because terrible. I worked at Chipotle and McDonald's, and McDonald's was my first job. And
uh-huh.
I mean, I'm still there. Yeah. So I started working when I was 16. And
you still there?
I'm still there. They got tuition assistance.
Oh, that's hard.
McDonald's,
so that's if he was just sleeping on McDonald's. I had a friend that was like at McDonald's, but made she was making dope money, real good money. Yeah.
But it's okay. Like minimum wage in New Jersey just went up to $10.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, like in New York, I was making $16 an hour, and I was like a kindergarten teacher aide, and all I was doing was coloring. So. Okay, so if you could tell young Akeem one thing, what would it be?
One advice I could give myself, one thing. Woo! Interesting. I gotta like bring it.
Well, you can say if you can say a few things.
I would say like get started, like start doing stuff, like start, like don't hold back, like don't feel like you're inadequate at the moment that you decide to do music.
Yeah, goddamn, she got hella patience. Was on my grind, barely paper chasing. I hope your girls don't say I keep you waiting. 89, I know that time is ticking. Long as the motherfuckers know you're taking, then we gon' fly someplace and get the bacon. Or we gon' get this shit and get the baiting. No, we gon' run this shit, there's no debating.
Hey, what's up? This is Akeem Ville, and you're about to hear Kelly Rowland on WJMS Radio.
Feel it in my soul. Yeah, barely chosen, heart is frozen. Let's be honest, dog, I used to chase that Kelly Rowland. Back in senior high, a sophomore, but she had senior thighs. When I was 17, guess I was ill-advised. I ran track, but I was shooting shots. Wanted to round the way, girl, when she had every block. That's Rudy in the paint, Rudy in the paint. I'm unruly in the make, but Frank Moody when I think. I'm saying, talk to me, where are you? Let me call you. I heard you got a child now, that's one way to succeed. Was a lost boy, got fly without a Greek guy. Without Delta, without Kappa, without Sigma, I'm still an alpha. Still got them paying for the alphas, and they gotta pay them for the alphas. Still got them paying for the alphas, they gotta pay them for the alphas. One more time, yeah. Billy chosen, heart is frozen. Let's be honest, dog, I used to chase that Kelly Rowland. Back in senior high, a sophomore, but she had senior thighs. When I was 17, yes, I was ill-advised. I ran track, but I was shooting shots. Wanted to round the way, girl, when she had every block. That's Rudy in the paint, Rudy in the paint. I'm unruly in the make, but Frank Moody when I think. I'm saying,
feel it in my soul, I can feel it in my soul.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.